The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, this is Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. MS spasticity therapy, baclofen, helps to repair myelin. Study. Baclofen is an approved therapy for spasticity in multiple sclerosis patients. Promoted the repair of myelin, the protective sheath around nerve fibers that's progressively lost in MS, in a mouse model of the disease, a study showed. These findings suggest baclofen, sold as oral tablets, oral solution, and injectable formulations, may be a potential therapeutic approach to stimulate myelin repair in people with MS, the researchers noted. Further studies in MS patients treated with baclofen are needed to confirm these findings. The study, GABA-B, GABA-B receptor agonist baclofen, promotes central nervous system remyelination, by the researchers at the University of Basque Country, Spain, was published in GLIA. In MS, the abnormal immune responses led to myelin damage. In MS, abnormal immune responses lead to myelin damage and loss or demyelination, impairing nerve cell communication and ultimately resulting in neurodegeneration. In the brain and spinal cord, myelin damage attracts immature oligodendrocyte precursor cells, or OPCs, to the lesion site, where they mature into myelin-producing oligodendrocytes capable of restoring the myelin sheath. However, in most patients, the efficacy of this process decreases significantly with age and disease progression, the researchers wrote. Most available MS treatments work by suppressing immune responses, inflammation, and associated relapses, but there are no approved therapies that can promote myelin repair or remyelination. Therefore, the development of novel treatments that boost remyelination is a major goal of current MS research and includes the repurposing of existing drugs, the researchers wrote. Repurposing compounds already approved and thus tested for safety for one health condition and using them in another disease helps accelerate the development of a safe and effective treatment while reducing costs. In a previous preclinical study, the researchers showed baclofen stimulated OPC maturation via the activation of GABA type B receptors, or GABA-BRs. GABA is a major suppressive chemical messenger in the brain and spinal cord. It was previously shown to be a key regulator of OPC maturation and myelin production. Baclofen is the best-known GABA-BR activator. Injecting baclofen directly into the spinal canal in MS patients was reported to improve cognitive function, which correlated with increases in MRI-assessed myelin content, the research team noted. Here, the team evaluated baclofen's remyelinating potential in rodent models of MS. One of the models consisted of lab-grown mice and mouse brain slices exposed to lysolecithin, or LPC, a toxic molecule that promotes demyelination. The other comprised mice injected with LPC into their spinal cord to mimic MS-like disease and demyelination. A 6-day treatment with baclofen at the same time of LPC exposure significantly increased the levels of two major myelin proteins, myelin-associated glycoprotein and myelin basic protein, reaching levels similar or close to those in healthy brain slices. This effect was not associated with changes in the number of OPCs or mature oligodendrocytes, suggesting GABA-BR activation promotes myelin generation by mature oligodendrocytes without affecting OPC growth capacity, the researchers wrote. The team then analyzed the effects of 7 days of daily baclofen treatment in the mouse model, where lysolecithin had been injected 5 days before baclofen. The treatment resulted in a significant increase in OPC maturation in oligodendrocytes and in the proportion of remyelinated nerve cells or axons. These data highlight that baclofen treatment following LPC-induced demyelination accelerates the regeneration of myelin sheaths, the researchers wrote. The findings suggest that baclofen repurposing should be considered as a potential therapeutic strategy to stimulate remyelination in patients with MS, they said. The team also noted that the mechanisms behind the therapy's remyelinating effects remain largely unclear as they may be related to the direct activation of GABA-BR in OPCs and/or by influencing immune cells that facilitate remyelination. It's also possible that baclofen's anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects may help promote OPC maturation and myelin production. Further studies are needed to clarify this and to evaluate whether MS patients treated with baclofen indeed show evidence of enhanced remyelination, the researchers wrote. This may be an important first step in evaluating the suitability of this drug as a pro-remyelinating neurorepair agent in MS, they concluded. This news article was written by Marta Figueredo, Ph.D., on August 22, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. Fall Down, Get Up Again, a column by John Connor, published on August 19, 2022. MS and Sex, Everything You Wanted to Know But Were Never Told to Ask. Now I know the phrase, I'm going to do my own research, has become a catch-all for conspiracy theorists who are out to prove spurious nonsense merely by finding even more spurious websites they can whirl down like Alice falling through that thar looking glass. Proper research costs serious money and can involve such protocols as double-blind testing. In this case, neither the researcher nor the subject knows who's actually getting the drug. You could be on sugar pills for 2 years, as I recently might have been had my leukocyte count not been too low. This was the subject of a recent column. But it's also possible to do proper research by finding reputable websites or scientific papers. It's the sort of initiative you're taught to do as an undergraduate or journalist. If one's been both, the interweb is eminently traversable. Since becoming a co-moderator for the MS News Today forums, I've had to delve deeper into the world of medicine. I have absolutely no scientific background, except for a nerdy obsession with the outer reaches of physics. However, I've gotten used to researching all kinds of subjects for members, or trying to work out the acronyms they're using, something that I'm prone to using too myself. Bad moderator. I do have a proven history, before becoming a moderator, of delving into my persistent UTIs. There I go again, urinary tract infections. Urologists kept telling me there was nothing the matter with me. I went so far as trying Eastern European phages from an institute in Tbilisi, Georgia. Every microbe has its very own microbe that feeds on it. Darwinism is all-consuming. And I was, with the help of a multiple sclerosis nurse's extensive knowledge, able to ferret out one of the few urology departments here in the UK that can treat such long-term UTIs. In fact, I'm still being treated by them and no longer get floored by consistent infections. I always have the antibodies to deal with them. So I applied the same logic to sex and MS in men. Reputable sources tell us that about 70% of men with MS will have erectile difficulties. The MS Society website additionally notes that there are no treatments yet that really help with ejaculation. Ejaculation and orgasm are much more complicated processes than genital arousal, and are very hard to achieve without intact connections between the spinal cord and brain. Fair enough, but that didn't stop me from looking for a treatment. Were any MS researchers looking into this? None that I could find. The only scientific papers I discovered about male sex and MS were from Iran and written by female scientists. That was unexpected. So I dropped the MS bit and just went looking for anything to do with ejaculation and disability in men. I found something. An article published in 2007 in the Journal of Urology called Midodrine Improves Ejaculation in Spinal Cord Injured Men. Since MS affects our spinal cords as well, I wondered if it might work. That was 4 or 5 years ago, and I asked my MS nurse at the time to refer me to someone. Nothing happened, but I already had more than enough to deal with. Then, as my MS worsened, so did my ability to orgasm. I realized this was another part of my being that would soon be gone. In fact, the last time was February 2020. I was on a full course of steroids during a brief break with my wife, and I took at the seaside. I needed them to break through the logjam. But the next time I took a course of heavy-duty steroids, nothing. It was this, among other reactions, that convinced me I'd moved on to secondary progressive MS, or SPMS. The next time I had a phone consultation with my neurologist, he confirmed it. Ah, well. He also suggested I get a referral from my general practitioner regarding a possible midodrine prescription. So I did. This led me to seeing a urologist at my local hospital. I went armed with my research, expecting a battle, but he was miles ahead of me. He even prescribed a daily dose of Cialis, as well as midodrine. The Cialis has yet to be procured, as the dosage was outside National Health Service guidelines. Privately, it would be £2,000 to £3,000 a year. That's about $2,417 to $3,625 in the U.S. Certainly not justifiable, especially with energy prices about to blow the roof off. Winter would be even colder. Still, there's an American company that sells the medication far more cheaply, though I haven't used it yet, as the payment process is fearfully complicated. The consultant also told me he was used to prescribing midodrine for people with conditions such as cerebral palsy, Parkinson's disease, and spinal injuries. When I asked him about MS, he said, "Hardly ever. But even though I have SPMS, the midodrine has worked. Pity I don't smoke." To read more columns from John Connor and our other contributors, visit our website at MultipleSclerosisNewsToday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.